Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We're continuing in the fruit of the Spirit. Someone raise your hand. What did we talk about last week? Raise your hand and tell me. Anybody? What was the fruit of the Spirit last week? Do you remember? Dayton? No. It's all right. Ashley? Gentleness was the fruit of the Spirit from last week. Gentleness. And we'll go right on with the next one. Galatians chapter 5, okay, and let's look at verse 22. This is about the fruit of the Spirit. We've done well. We only got about three left after this week, and then we'll be done with the whole series. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and you're reading along with me, Galatians 5, reading along, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What's the next one?
Goodness.
Goodness is today, and then next week we'll do, or Lord willing, as we go on, we got faith, meekness, and temperance left, and that's it. But today we're talking about goodness, and we're going to be turning a lot in our Bibles. We've got about 25 minutes, which is good, and I'll make sure I wait for you. If you see someone next to you that maybe is having a hard time finding the passage and you know where it is, why don't you help them? Okay, let's help each other out. We'll get to the passages, and we'll get there, and we'll get through the lesson on goodness today. Donald Jr. is getting bigger and bigger. I can't believe he's four already. He's already four. I think of, we brought him to junior camp this week. We had three of our own kids at junior camp this week. And I remember our first summer just taking Donald. He's just a year old. So it's really crazy to think that Donald's already four and he's talking and he's doing all these new things as a four-year-old. And one thing he always does, I've mentioned it before, is Donald is so friendly to random strangers. Which kind of makes you nervous. You're like, okay, we got to keep an eye on him. If he's that nice to strangers, we don't want someone taking him because he'll just probably go with him and probably give him a hug. But he's so friendly. We'll be at the cash register, and he'll look at the lady and say, you know, hey, how's it going? And she'll say, oh, good, how are you? He goes, I'm good. And then he'll just talk to her and randomly talk about whatever he's doing. But as we're leaving, he'll always say, all right, bye-bye, thank you. And then he'll say, love you. You know, to know who they are. Love you. And he'll say this, and he gets this, I know, from probably Marissa and myself. When either one of us leave the house and the other one's watching the kids, we'll say, hey, love you, buddy. Be good for mom or be good for dad. So as he's leaving the cash register, Donald will say, be good for daddy or be good for mommy as he's leaving. And he knows what it means, be good. I say, Donald, were you good for mom? And he'll say yes, even if he wasn't. He'll say yes or no. But he knows what it means to be good. He's always saying that, be good for mom, be good for dad. Goodness, the definition is this, virtue and holiness in action. Virtue and holiness in action. Any one of us can have holiness in our hearts and virtue in our hearts, but if we don't act upon that, then it's not goodness. When it's talking about goodness and the fruit of the Spirit, that's what it's talking about, virtue and holiness in action. Like I said in the past few weeks, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. What we're talking about is the results that come from the Holy Spirit living inside you. When you get saved, okay, you're forgiven of your sins, you have a home in heaven, but the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and change you and help you, that's when you get the fruit of the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit works in your life and in my life, our character changes. Maybe we were once selfish, now we're a little bit more helpful and loving. Maybe at one time we were hateful, now we have compassion. Maybe at one time we were bad and now we have goodness. Maybe at one time there's peace. We didn't have any peace. We were always fearful. And when the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, your character changes. Instead of being fearful and stressed out, you have peace because it's from God. All of these fruits of the Spirit are character traits of God. Really, when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're being Christ-like. You're being like Christ. We're supposed to be made in the image of God, and we're supposed to, our character is supposed to reflect God. Is God perfect? Is God perfect? Nod your head if you think he is. Yeah. Okay, get it. Come on, let's work with me. Is God perfect? Yes. Are we perfect? Okay. I see. I don't see any yeses, so you're right. No, none of us are perfect. But we can strive to be more like Christ. That's why we need the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're talking about goodness. God is good. So many songs about God. God is so good. We sing God's been good. I've got so much to thank him for. Really, the essence of God's nature is all good. He's just good. God is so good. Even when we don't understand what's going on, God is good. Even when things seem bad to us, God is still good. Even when it's whether it's sunny or raining, God is good. You lose a family member, God's still good. You have trials in your life, God's still good. God is always good. He's always good. He's always doing good things. It's in his nature. And if we want to be more like Christ, then we need to have goodness. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Really going to be kind of all over the place today, just with scripture, but also with just the thoughts. It's when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's I know in the past I've done outlines and alliterations and this and that, and but really, as I studied up on goodness, it's really just a bunch of thoughts together about goodness in our life, goodness from God, and all those things. But we're in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 7, okay? Verse 7 says this, because the carnal, and carnal means worldly sinful, okay? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, okay? Naturally, we're bad. Say, well, I'm a good person. I know, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying naturally, we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no way around that. I think all of us would admit, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, if you've been saved, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But naturally, without God helping us, our natural flesh is bad. It's wicked. It wants to do wrong. It wants to sin. That's what it says. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's natural for us to defy God and sin, to go against what God wants, to go against his word, because we're flesh. When Adam sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were cursed. And that's what the curse of sin in our lives. That's why we're born sinners. That's why Seth, even though he's only 2.5 years old, why he has sin in his life already. He doesn't know, but it's natural. It becomes natural as humans to defy God, to go against what is right according to the word of God, and to sin. But God wants to help us overcome that. He wants to give us goodness. He wants to give us the rest of the fruits of the Spirit so we can live right and live for him. Really, that is only possible. It's only possible to overcome that badness in our life from a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is so many things. It's not just reading a chapter a day and saying a quick prayer. A relationship with Christ is so much more than that. It's just like any other relationship in your life that you strengthen, spending time with them. There's a love there. There's a connection there. A relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, will give you that goodness. It'll help you overcome sin in your life and changing your character. When we talk about God's goodness, all throughout the Old Testament talks about the goodness of God. In the Psalms and even in Genesis, next year, it's all about the goodness of God and all the things he did for his people. And it's most of the time talking about his provision, how he provided for his people, whether it was from water from a rock or manna from heaven, he provided for them, or his generosity in loving the children of Israel, the people, but also mercy, giving second chances to people, not destroying the children of Israel when they grumbled and complained against God back in the Old Testament. He could have destroyed them. They were being babies, but he had mercy for them. That's part of God's goodness. But when we're talking about our goodness, okay, trying to have the goodness of God in our lives, it comes down to two things. What we do and who we are. What we do and who we are when it comes to the goodness of God in our lives. You're in Romans. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll look first at goodness of God in our lives in what we do. Verse 8, John 15. By the way, anyone seen Aiden's new Bible?
Yes.
It's gigantic. I just want to hit him with it.
No.
That is huge, man. You need to donate that to a senior saint upstairs. You know, my goodness. John 15, verse 8. Can you see it, Aiden? Can you read it?
No.
Yeah. We can all read it probably from where we're sitting. John 15, verse 8 says this. Herein is my Father glorified. Look at this. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God wants us to bear fruit. See, what do you mean? He wants us to plant a garden or plant out? No, I'm not talking about that. God wants us to have spiritual fruit. He wants you to succeed for Him. God wants you to not only live for Him, but be happy living for Him, have success living for Him, see people saved living for Him, and have a good life. God wants you to bear fruit. Goodness requires action. Not just in our heart, and it's good to have goodness in our heart, but true biblical fruit of the Spirit goodness requires action. Knowing what's right and then doing it. I bet all of us could name some of the Ten Commandments or some of the things that you've heard me preach about, what we should do, what the Bible says we should do, what we shouldn't do. And I bet most of us know what's right and what's wrong. There's probably some areas that are gray areas that you're not sure, but there's most of it you probably say, well, yeah, according to the Bible, God doesn't like that, that's wrong, and that's right. But it's more than just knowing, because I bet all of us, including myself, there's things that we know are wrong, but we still do them because we like to do them. Whether it's music, hanging out with the wrong kind of friends, could be as far as some, we've had people that we've worked with, whether it was drinking or cigarettes or drugs or marijuana, whatever it may be, the list goes on and on. Even in our heart sins, like selfishness and anger, and you know it's wrong to have an angry spirit, but you don't want anything to change it. Goodness is knowing what's right and then doing it. Go to James. Look at a verse in James chapter 1. You're doing a great job, by the way. James chapter 1. Can't wait for the next teen class we have where we can do sword drills again. That was fun, man. Sword drills, giving out candy. Learning your Bibles. Mom, you already there? You're there? Why don't you, nice and loud, read James 1:22. Nice and loud so we can all hear over the AC.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Doers of the word. I just said goodness is not just knowing what's right, but then doing it. This book is right. Question. Nod your head, yes or no. Can God lie? Does God always tell the truth? So if God wrote this book and used men to write this book and spoke through them as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, if God is the author of this book, is it right? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The Bible says, don't just be hearers. Don't just hear it. Like you're sitting there right now, you're hearing me preach. Don't just hear what I'm saying. Don't just hear what pastor says. Don't just read the Bible, but live the Bible. Be a doer of the word. That's true biblical fruit of the Spirit goodness. If you simply just don't do the wrong things, that's not enough. Say, well, I don't drink, smoke, do drugs, sleep around. I don't do any of those things at all. But then you don't live for God at all. That's not good enough. That's not having goodness. Because you don't sin, that means you're great. No, goodness is more than just not doing the bad things. It's about doing the right things and doing the good things. Jesus, when he lived on earth, preached against sins and hypocrisies and all these different things. But then he didn't just go sit back and relax. No, he did good. He did right. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I think it's okay to use our Bibles in Sunday school. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach, Pastor Donald. Go on ahead, brother. Acts chapter 10. I know. Acts chapter 10. Man, you guys are outgrowing this room. I love it. Acts chapter 10. And go over and look at verse 38. You're reading along with me. Follow along as I read and focus. Okay? No, let's actually start in verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. In verse 38, look at this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus didn't just preach against what was wrong. He went about doing good. When's the last time you went about doing good? So, Pastor John, I can't heal the sick. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about giving sight to the blind. I'm talking about just doing something for somebody else. It's part of true biblical fruit of the Spirit goodness. Going out soul winning. That's going about doing good. Writing a thank you note to somebody. That's doing good. On and on the list can go. I know right now you don't have a lot of money, but as you get older and maybe donating some money to something or do this or that or praying for somebody, those are things that are go about doing good. Jesus did it, and we need to do the same. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Talk about goodness this morning. Goodness, having goodness in your life. How much goodness is in your life? What we do and who we are. Galatians 5, same chapter as the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Gracie there? Can you read verse 13, please, nice and loud?
For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
By love serve one another. That's doing good. I've said it 1,000 times, I'll keep saying it till I'm gone or dead to this youth group, that we're a family. We're a family. As much as you know, may not can't stand each other, if that's the case, I don't think that's the case, we're still a family. We're a youth group. We're supposed to be there for each other. We're supposed to help each other. And you, so many times, I've seen it with my own eyes, you guys are there for each other, whether it's praying on the altar or even having fun together, whatever it may be, we're a family. We're supposed to serve one another, be there for one another. Branching out into our church family, your personal family at home, in love, serving one another. That's going about and doing good. You're in Galatians. Go one page over to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, as you begin to go soul winning, maybe some of you already have gone soul winning before, maybe you haven't, but whenever I go soul winning, I was taught you obviously talk to a lost person, they have to recognize their sin. They have to recognize that their sin will send them to hell. Just like my sin would have sent me to hell if not for the grace of God and Him saving me and me asking to save me. But you go and you talk to a lost person and say, you know, are you a sinner or have you ever sinned or whatever it may be? And sometimes people say, no. They're like, no, I never sinned before. And they may not understand it at first, but I usually say, if you died today, where would you go? And a lot of times people say, I'd go to heaven. And I say, well, why would you go to heaven? Why do you think you'd go to heaven? Anyone want to take a guess at why people in the world think that they're going to heaven? Caitlin? Because most of them say, well, I'm a good person. And you know what? They're probably right. They probably are a nice, kind, cordial, friendly person. They say, yeah, I'm a good person. Now, I have been people that say, I remember one time I asked a guy that in downtown Holyoke, and he was smoking a marijuana joint. And I said, if you died today, where'd you go? He said, I'd probably go to hell. Or I asked him, have you ever sinned before? And he went, just shows me. I said, okay, yeah, I guess that's an answer. Yes, yeah, you have sinned before. But other times people say, well, I go to heaven because I'm good. Our goodness does not get us to heaven. People that trust in their good works to get them to heaven will spend eternity in hell. Many good people go to hell because they're trusting in their own actions and not the actions of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and shed His blood for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Not so we could be a good person to get to heaven, but so that we could trust in His grace, in His love, and in the saving work that happened on the cross. Our goodness does not get us to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, you're there, look at verse 8. It tells us how we get saved. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And look at this, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right there in black and white, it's saying our good works do not get us to heaven. Salvation through Jesus Christ and faith gets us to heaven. But that doesn't mean, the Bible says in Romans, should we sin that grace may abound, which means, hey, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, nothing can take my salvation away, so I guess I can live however I want. No. The Bible says, God forbid, like no way. Look at verse 10, the next verse. Verse 9 says, not of works that man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what kind of works? Good works. We're his workmanship. We are God's project. God is constantly molding us and making us and building us so we can, because we're created in him to do good works. We're created in his image. We're his workmanship. And how often, as God tries to build us, do we slap his hand away? Say, no, I got it. No, I got it. And he's trying to build us. He's trying to make us better so we can do good works. What we do and who we are. We're created to do good. Yes, we're created to glorify God and honor him. Yes, be a witness. But we're created to do good. We're created by God, saved by his grace, to go out and do good works, to be a good person, to be a help, to have compassion, to be a giver, to help someone in need, to put an arm around someone who's struggling and hurting and pray with them and cry with them and help them. We're created to do good works, created to go against the grain of the world and the wickedness of the world and live for God. Listen, it takes courage to do good sometimes. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 2. Thanks for turning so much. Doing a great job. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, "And yea, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution." It takes courage to do good sometimes. Some of the people don't get it. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. Look down at it. 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that this is acceptable with God. When we sin and we're punished for it, and we deal with it, that's pretty normal. I think all of us know that there's consequences for sin, there's consequences for problems. But then the verse says, but what if you do well? What if you do good and suffer for it? 10, 15, 20 years down the road, if the Lord hasn't come yet, it may be illegal to preach against certain things. It might be illegal to preach the Bible. They may try to take this Bible away from us. So that'll never happen. Yeah. It really could. It really could happen. So if we're trying to do good by living by this Bible and doing right, and someone says, you can't do that anymore, and we say, well, I got to do it because it's what the Bible says, and we suffer for doing good, that's when God really sees it. So this is acceptable with God. At your public school, you know, it's good to look like a Christian. It's good to act like a Christian. You may get made fun of or picked on for acting like a Christian at your public school. But God sees it. Hey, I see it too. You know I'm here for you. If when you do well, you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. It takes courage to do good sometimes. You may come to a point in your life when you want to do good, you want to do right, but you're nervous about what other people are going to think, what your parents are going to think, whatever it may be. Take it patiently. Trust God. He'll give you peace. It's acceptable to God. It's good. So what we do, okay? Go to Galatians chapter 6 and we'll finish up. It takes courage to do good sometimes. What we do, who we are. This is the last part of what we do, this last verse, Galatians chapter 6, and we got about 3 minutes, 3-4 minutes, we'll be done. Who we are is a little shorter than what we do. Galatians chapter 6, okay, in verse 9, kind of a final thought for this point of what goodness of God in regards to what we do. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It goes right along with what we just talked about. You may decide, you know what, I'm going to do good for other people. I'm going to help other people. I'm going to invest in the people. As I grow older, I'm going to just start helping people and doing good for other people. It says, especially on those who have the household of faith, people in my church, people in my youth group, I'm going to just do good. And you may start doing good, and you feel like no one really cares, no one really sees it, no one's really thanking you, no one's really doing anything, and you're like, well, what's the point? If no one sees or cares or anything like that, and or maybe they get mad at me for trying to help them, whatever it may be. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God will bless you for the good works that you do. He will bless you. It may not be the moment you do the good work, but down the road. Maybe you'll help someone, and then a time in your life when you need help, God will bring someone into your life to help you. I learned something in the past year or two when it comes to investing in people. As a youth pastor, Marissa and I, we want to invest in your teenagers. We want to give everything of ourselves to help you, to get you closer to God and to help you, whatever it may be, whatever you need. We want to invest ourselves into you so that you can come out a better person, living for God, doing right, a good child of God. And sometimes we invest and do things and help and pray and call and have over and all these things we do. And then this person just kind of writes us off and they leave and they're gone forever. Or they're living for the devil and you're just like, what is going on? And it can be really discouraging if we're not careful. Like, man, what a waste of time, we think. And I learned that I'm not supposed to invest in you teenagers for me. Well, if I invest in them, then I'm a better Christian and then I get to have fruit to my account. That's not why I need to invest in teenagers. I'm not even investing for your sake, first of all. Yes, I want to see you do well. I want you to be successful, but I'm not investing in you or anybody for me or for you. I'm doing it for God. I'm investing in people and giving my life to God, not for you or for me, but for Him, because He deserves all of me. He deserves all of you. So that when someone does walk away and throw all the advice out the window that we gave them and all the things we gave to them and helped them with, they just forget it all and don't thank us and write us off forever. So when that does happen to us, instead of us getting discouraged saying, oh no, oh woe is me, I did all that work for nothing, I can say, you know what, I did my part for the Lord, God will take care of the rest. And that's helped me so much as a youth pastor. Now, I don't want you to go off and fail and do nothing, because it's still, I don't want that to happen, but I know that I've done my part. And you can do the same thing. Don't do things just for a thank you. Don't do good works just so people can say, wow, they're a really great person. No, do it for God, and He will bless you. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, He shall lift you up. We're all about that at camp this year. So what we do. Lastly, who we are. Go to James chapter 4, and we'll be done. Or James, we got three more passages, and then we'll be all done. James chapter 4. And I promise I'll go quick. I may even turn myself. James chapter 4. Let me get there too. Hebrews, James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and He shall draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded means kind of straddling Christ and the world. You got your feet in both things. You're doing some things for the world, some things for God. That's being double-minded. He said, purify your hearts, cleanse your hands, do good, be good on the inside. Yes, do good works on the outside, but you're not going to do any good works on the outside if you don't have goodness on the inside, true goodness on the inside. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you, not being a hypocrite, not being a fake. Sure, any one of you can come to Sunday school, dress up nice, but it's what on the heart that matters. The Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. How is your heart? Do you have a good heart? Is there goodness, true goodness in your heart? Romans chapter 12, if you can get there, great. If not, I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor, which means really, 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 really hate. Abhor. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Cling to that which is good. Hold on to that which is good. If you're around good things like church and Christian friends, and the right kind of music, and you're in your Bible, and you're praying, and you're around those things that are good, then it's going to be a lot easier to have a true good heart and to do good works. Like I said, you won't be able, you're not going to do any truly good works for God if your heart is not right. We need to be good. Psalm 23, very popular verse. You probably all know it. It's a song in the hymn book too. But Psalm 23 and verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Teenager, we need to have goodness in our heart. Really, some of the other fruits of the Spirit, they reflect from having a true good heart for the Lord, trying to be Christ-like, avoiding that which is evil and sinful and wicked and clinging to that which is good, letting the Holy Spirit transform your heart from a heart that was once sinful, wicked, selfish, angry, hateful, to a heart that's good, a heart like Christ's, like God's. What we do and who we are. How much goodness do you have in your life? I think all of us can use a little bit more goodness in our life. Okay, I will let you know about Sunday school next week. As soon as I know, which will probably be more like next Sunday. We have VBS all week. But just if so, we'll continue on in the next fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Head right upstairs. Lord, we love you. Bless this day. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Help us to have the same kind of goodness that you have for us, for other people, and to have truly good hearts and to do good works. In your precious name, amen.